I think we can skip the pledge if we had a wider attendance.
Yeah.
But you and I are definitely committed to the pledge.
Yes.
So I will call to order the Monday, April 28th meeting of the Ulster County Climate Smart Committee. And it's myself, Manager Green, and Nassim, say your last name one more.
Hadawi. Nassim Hadawi, yeah.
Hadawi. Okay, very good. Absent and excused is Betta Broad, and she had a meeting and couldn't get back in time. And for the members, we need to be here in person. Other people can join via Zoom or by phone, but the members, according to the rules, have to be here in person to participate. And I think the main thing we want to do is focus on filling the committee, and I think we should talk about the Ulster County Fair. But I'm not sure, you know, ever since Kim Mayer stepped back, I pinch hit for her, and we did a good job. Mm-hmm. But, and we have people willing, but I think we should talk about the fair. And then the other thing I would like to talk about, because I don't think it takes a lot of people, and I think it is needed, is the idea of probably quarterly or maybe three times a year doing a really excellent presentation on climate change. And I'm thinking of once before we did one, I started a group called the Ulster County Climate Smart something or another that was not this task force, but it was a lot of people that were interested in learning. And we had Margie Turin from Lamont Dougherty Earth Institute speaking about her direct experience and showing slides from Greenland, where she's been doing research for many years, and she's an excellent speaker, and it's heartbreaking but also very informative to understand what they are finding firsthand. And it's the reason I don't want to just give up on this. I just feel like climate change is too important, and if people have meeting fatigue or are on a lot of other committees or I know that in Kim's case, she shifted her focus because of what's going on in Gaza and Israel. You know, people are also just struggling every day because of what's going on with the administration and the programs that are being cut and so forth, the amount of unemployment that is going to result is just unthinkable. And I just think with all that going on, people are sort of saying, well, when it comes to climate change, there's not much I can do. I'll let somebody else worry about it. Mm-hmm. But I think the education is potentially so valuable. And if we can, you know, think of a few people and then actually have, like, let's say, the June or July Climate Smart Committee actually be an educational event. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, we can try to find people to fill slots and I think I'd like to ask the Environmental Management Council, but also the Supervisors Association, But what I'd like to do is think of, in terms of a nonprofit, I'm thinking that, well, BETA is the nonprofit, so, but I was thinking that Communities for Local Power or Mid-Hudson Energy Transition, either one of them would be great. And in a sense, those are businesses, they're nonprofits, but in terms of a business, just trying to think.
There's definitely, the only one that comes to mind for me is like the owner of RICOR, because I know he was involved in a lot of the trying to push for the New York Heat Act.
Yes.
And he was like the local business partner on that front. Only one that, very applicable.
And also some of the solar companies, there is the main ones, or one of the main ones, Sun Common, was sold, and there's a new ownership, and Point of Praise is trying to straighten things out with them because they have a big solar system that Sun Common, under the previous ownership, installed. And by the way, I'm in the process of getting them a Pride of Ulster County Award because it's such a good idea to have a congregation that has space install the solar, and the benefits go directly to the congregation. And he pointed out that there are a lot of low-income single moms and so forth that are part of the congregation, and it's really, for some people, it's a benefit. For others, it's almost a lifesaver. So I'm in the process of figuring out which Sunday of which month, and also we'll invite the Communities for Local Power because they did the workforce development component.
Yeah.
I've also asked RUPCO for an update on the, this $400,000.
Oh, the retrofits.
Energy retrofits. Yeah. And actually, I should have CC'd you. I sent it to Faith and Kylord Farmer to follow up and see if they, because last I knew, they were supposed to do 10 projects and they had 3 lined up. But that was November. And, you know, it's 4 or 5 months later. I wanted to see if they had any. I'm just giving a quick overview. Then I want to drill down on those two or three topics. In terms of 30, the 70 by 30 renewable energy, that is going exceptionally well. We have a very good team on the working group, working with also a good team in New Paltz and Central Hudson. And a lot of people are looking forward to Central Hudson. Hello? Somebody there?
I'm not sure.
I heard a ding.
Can you hear your
somebody
audio
trying to come on? It could have been Amanda or Tyron hopping off.
Mm-hmm, that's true. I think we're all set for now.
Okay. And you don't think we should also, just in case?
I'm not sure if I know how to set that one up, is the thing. But I think that they, I'll look, I feel like they advertised the Zoom. I don't know if they put the number there.
I cannot put the calendar whiz on my desktop of my cell phone, which is so annoying because it used to be, and now I can't seem to add anything else.
Gotcha. And you were saying about the 70 by 30?
Yeah, so the folks in New Paltz have really embraced the project, which is to maximize renewable energy generation in a corridor between the high school and the landfill along I-87, which also includes the cloverleaf. And mainly it includes the Government Operations Center or Emergency Communications. And Amanda Laval has been attending the meetings, so she's very caught up. And the work that the folks in New Paltz, Tom Poulton and Jolanda, have done with Amanda Gatto is really, I mean, somebody could be spending a whole lot of money on a consultant that wouldn't even do as good a job as they are doing.
That's
and
nice.
They took the, they were amongst the first people to take the solar mapping training. So it feels like that can become a model for other municipalities. Some of the challenges, of course, are how are we going to do the grid upgrades?
Yeah, because no one wants to pay for connecting the corridors and stuff.
That's right. And, you know, my wish is that the state would have, you know, maybe taken 50% or something. But they're leaving it to the utilities and, in a sense, the way the Public Service Commission has it set up, it defaults to the developers. And the developers have to be sure that they can get their return on investment. So these are some of the things that they're working with. And Simon Strauss and Tom Conrad, who know a lot about the financing, are also part of the conversation. So that's a quick update on that. But let me just see, in terms of businesses, that's kind of got sidetracked there. You were suggesting RICOR, and I think they would probably do it. Maybe I wanted to say something about that off the record after
sure.
the meeting closes. And there is a solar farm, a solar developer in Gardner. I think it's called the New York State Solar.
Okay.
Something. And I don't know who all else is active, but I think one of the things we could do, or the working group can do, is put together a list of businesses in Ulster County that are doing solar development.
Mm-hmm.
Central Hudson had a summit where the developers were all there from, well, anyone in the Central Hudson territory. And some of us were there, and it was a great conversation. And Amanda Gatto presented on the work we're doing with Central Hudson and New Paltz. They gave her time on the agenda, so that was great. All right, so maybe Kristen, well, okay. Kristen might be able to encourage someone from the municipalities. I think it's too much for her, but I also said the Supervisors Association and the EMC, so we can reach out to them. Do you participate in the EMC?
I don't. We have, from our town, Janelle Kozorak.
Oh, yeah.
She's the EMC rep, so she goes to those. So I typically don't attend the Wednesday meetings.
And the Supervisors Association are in pretty frequent communication.
Okay.
And they also meet right around the corner, although they've been meeting remotely a lot, but When they meet in person, it's right on Lucas Avenue.
Oh, okay. Which is,
yeah. And then, businesses, and I'm going to talk to Peter about DPW. Everybody is so meetinged out, it's tricky, but, so do we want to just go with Margie Turin for the first one, and that'll give us some time to plan a second one? Would that
go with what, sorry?
Margie Turin from Lamont Dougherty for an educational event.
Who's that?
Okay, Margie Turin is a scientist who's done many, many years of climate science, and her focus has been on Greenland. And she's made several trips and taken measurements and is really an expert on that. And I think that might be good for, and I can ask her about June, whatever that meeting is, which is probably on the bottom here.
I think there's a June 2nd. It's the May meeting got pushed to June.
Oh, yeah.
Early June, but so there's probably two in June.
That's right.
I could look. 1 second.
And that's far enough away that we can give her a choice of...
It'll be June 30th.
June 2nd or June 30th. And I'll take responsibility since I know her and we're friends on Facebook, and she has really interesting posts because she's so, you know, Columbia University, Lamont Dougherty Earth Institute in this region is probably the place. I've also worked with people that are involved in climate science at Vassar, SUNY New Paltz, Marist.
Bard, I'm sure.
Bard, yeah. So I think if we can, you know, really focus on education, then actions will come out of that. But as far as the Ulster County Fair, we have some time to think about it, but it does take a few months to really prepare and see if there are some vendors. RICOR has always been very supportive, and we can EV. And the other thing is the heat pumps, and I think that Hot Water Solutions might they're sort of the go-to, one of the go-to people for heat pumps. And we do have, we'll have to figure out who has it, but that the house display, we have the bird, we have, I actually still have in my car from last summer, easels that I got for displays, and they give us tables, and some of the displays we still have stored, and also we have time to make more, but it's the staffing, and we do have the list of the people that have staffed it before, but I'm kind of reluctant to move forward with that until we get a good working committee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, okay. Any other thoughts on that?
I'm trying to think. And is it possible that it'll change the structure of the committee? If we know we're not going to get someone from Public Works, is there a way to try to get someone else? I don't know if that's... seeing who we can get that would want to be involved and try to structure it that way. I'm just trying to think of, just because that one's definitely the big lift to get someone consistent from.
I am wondering.
Or to get more people, because by itself it's only like a 5-person committee, which,
yeah,
as it stands, isn't like a very large one. So if people are, you know, you get a couple people out, then you're not meeting quorum and stuff. I'm just wondering if there's any way to, like, if we were to find more people interested, to expand at all. And definitely think about doing, I think we had discussed in the past, but like maybe quarterly meetings of everyone, and that you know, we can meet more frequently, you know, phone calls or, you know, Zooms, but official meetings, maybe move them to quarterly, and that's when you can invite, you know, the municipalities, because I think a lot of people, it's the same people that try to go to the EMC and the Climate Smart, so that might help encourage more people.
Well, I do know that Kristen said that she would make a spot on the EMC agenda to talk about climate issues, but it's not the same as it used to be when many of the towns would report off.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, if it was a problem that was sort of solving itself, I wouldn't be pushing to try to, but I like the idea of quarterly for everyone, and then if you add in the fact that in the fall we also have
the round table.
The municipal task force round table. And then if we do quarterly, gatherings, where people really do share and report off, and then we do also quarterly, educational events. I think, and then, in between the smaller group to be planning those. But let's try and fill that smaller group. In terms of public works, I was also wondering if there's somebody in DPW, because DPW is essentially on the ground, and they also include buildings and so if it's not a legislator from Public Works, and I was going to reach out to Rob Parody and see what he thought about that.
Another thing we discussed in the past too, because I don't think anyone was free enough to do it, but kind of surveying the municipalities to see what might interest them, and maybe we can try to alter the agenda to fit that. Because some of the items might not be exactly what they're looking to talk about, besides the kind of, you know, the share out, which then they can talk about what they have going on. But if there were sections about things that they were interested in, like a section, this is just an example, but talking about any grants that people are currently applying for that people could talk about or anything. I just think that trying to fit the agenda around that a little bit more about what the interests are of the municipalities might work. Because I don't know how much of, especially if they've been involved or have done some of these things before, like any municipality that has done the solar mapping training, they see that on the agenda, they might not really be interested, or if they see, if they've already, you know, done their part in looking into the 70x30. So I think that trying to get a grasp on what municipalities are interested in, and maybe we can even ask the EMC, since they have reps that are usually from their environmental committees in each town and village, asking them kind of what their interest might be. I think that could be a good start too, just to start with updating the agenda a little bit.
One thing on the solar mapping that we found, with the exception of New Paltz, the towns that did take the training, um, most of them developed a local renewable energy implementation plan.
Mm-hmm.
But and some of them have not yet and need to. But they're not moving forward. And what we have come up with in the past and would still like to do is get Ulster County to hire someone to work with the municipalities and kind of hold their hand and mm-hmm. every day be in touch with a given municipality and see what their next step is.
Yeah, when we had the larger meeting in here to restructure, I think that that was discussed a little bit, a cohort style thing where someone at the county level or someone, you know, otherwise would take on a cohort of municipalities and do kind of like one climate smart project with them all at once. I know other places do that. Like our town did that with the Hudson Valley Regional Council. We did the cohort program and completed one of the actions all together in unison with other municipalities. So I think that that's a cool idea that definitely gets some that are, you know, still on the hunt for points, more involved in that, and they would have the support. So that was one thing we definitely discussed. That one, there's more levels to it since you need to hire someone or find someone to donate time and stuff, though.
Yeah, I'm ready to write a budget amendment to actually hire someone. And the reason I say that is that when I was the county recycling coordinator, we got all the municipalities working together, and we made a huge difference. We went from 4% to 40% in a decade. But that's because somebody was there bringing people together, getting ideas shared, figuring out the implementation. And that is the 70 by 30 renewable working group is going to be reporting to energy environment, and that's one of our recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to add to that the idea of I was going to work with Rick Lewandowski to develop a job description, and it could either be a hire through Department of Environment that we would find budget for, or it could be a contractor. The problem with the contractor is it sometimes takes a long time to develop an RFP for a contractor. Personnel mm-hmm. has to do that, or I'm trying to remember who does that. But
and I'd heard there's also, before even getting into like budget amendments or anything necessarily, there's organizations that already do this. So trying to if we partner with any of them, seeing if they'd be willing to, in our case, we did in Marlboro, we partnered with Cornell Cooperative Extension most recently to do an emergency management update plan. So they did two projects with us. One was the outreach side of things, then one was developing, pulling together all of our comprehensive plans into one kind of tool to see where our gaps are in emergency management and preparedness planning. And then so that was most recent with Cornell, and then we had done some stuff with Hudson Valley Regional Council, so there may not be a need to try to do a budget amendment necessarily. That we could see what organizations, if we could partner with them, or a lot of organizations are looking to find municipalities to do this work with.
Yeah.
So trying to kind of offer them a pipeline or a funnel to get municipalities on board. Maybe there's an opportunity for that. I'm not exactly sure, but that's something to investigate.
Okay. So. And one person that comes to mind that might know is Mike Murphy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I like the idea of adding in, instead of just saying municipality by municipality, to add in the idea of a cohort. For example, Marbletown and Rosendale and Hurley are about the same level of development.
Yeah.
Saugerties needs a little more coaching, but they're willing.
Yeah, and that's a good point, especially around here, because when we had done some cohort stuff, there was definitely the problem of, the levels that we were all at, Marlborough being very new, we were in a cohort with some Westchester, you know, small cities and towns that are operating at a much higher level. So I think that if, you know, you could find some way to do these cohort little projects or climate actions, and someone walking through multiple municipalities or representatives at a time, coaching them how to like, do this, how to do the proper documentation, all of that, that could be a good idea. I think that municipalities might like that. That would be useful for them because they're looking to get points too, and everyone wants assistance in all the complicated side of things.
And that's one thing I focus so much on the solar mapping tool that I'm not real clear on the state Climate Smart certification.
Mm.
There are other people who understand that better than I do because I haven't worked directly with it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been starting to go to the Rosendale Environmental Commission meetings, and they've done quite a bit with seeking funding. Oh, and there is a new round of funding that I asked.
Yes, I saw from the Department of State. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
For resilience.
Yes. Yeah. There was the coastal flooding and the other types of flooding stuff.
Yeah.
I saw that. Yeah, Lizbeth had sent that out.
And I took the training that the county gave on emergency management in the face of climate issues. And they went down to, was it North Carolina that was hit so badly? And it was, they came back realizing how similar that community was to Ulster County.
Mm.
So they're doing a great job, and I've been meaning to follow up with Rosendale, but I've just been too many other things in terms of what each town is doing for emergency planning, specifically around severe weather and climate related impacts. Mm-hmm. So let me go back and see if we, all right, so I'm gonna reach out to Margie and ask if she would do either June 2nd or June 30th. And we'll ask Kristen to have it be on the agenda to just see if they have any ideas for how to fill the vacancies, and I'll be real clear what the vacancies are.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to possibly follow up with RICOR and see if they would be interested?
I don't have a specific contact is the thing. I don't.
Yeah.
I just remember when they had the press event outside and for the New York Heat Act last year when they were supporting it, that someone from RICOR had spoke saying that they were like a, you know, local business partner for that. So I have no idea. I don't know like who they would be.
Yeah. That event in Kingston at the RUPCO, the building that RUPCO renovated, was very well attended.
Mm-hmm.
And let me ask, Betta has, she was...
She might actually know, or at least like have a contact for who that was, since they were on the front lines of organizing a lot of the New York Heat Act rallies.
All right, so we can... since you're not actually a member, we could even do a three-way call with Betta because she had to miss this meeting,
mm-hmm.
and just go over what we've come up with and see what ideas she might have. I miss Kim. She was just a powerhouse in terms of getting stuff done. I know someone else who has a business, but I'm not sure how well it would translate. Kathy Puffer is, but her focus is on capturing methane from household composting, and then using that methane in the household for cooking and so forth. And that's a very specific focus. And then, for example, Chris Hewitt is very focused on the hemp production. He feels that that Ulster County has real opportunity, particularly for hempcrete and, you know, hemp as a building material. And, you know, so there are people that have those specific interests, all of which is kind of part of the bigger picture, but I think the main thing is greenhouse gas reducing greenhouse gas emissions. And I also, just as an aside, somehow I fell into a group of scientists and engineers from around the world that are focused on climate change, and they believe that either bio or geoengineering is going to be necessary to get the climate back in balance. I don't agree or disagree, but it kind of feels like I've been assigned to keep track of what they're doing, which I was doing well until recently when my whole life changed. And one way or another, it will be resolved. So gotcha. I'm just doing the best I can with it. All right, let's see. I think we've touched on most of these subjects.
Yeah, still just figuring out with the UCRA, the RIC.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't remember where that left off on the bonding for the building, or what they were, not bonding for the building, but they were figuring out renting the building, or...
It's a rent with an option to buy, and what they wanted was for us to give them bonding approvals, which we did, us being the legislature, for... specifically for that project.
Yes, yeah.
In general, they have to come to the legislature for more than $500,000 bonding.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that should be the case, but I'm in the minority in terms of when we had the reform committee, they wanted to increase the number of people and remove the requirement for the legislature to approve bonding, which makes the agency more independent. But I have mixed feelings about that. And, you know, the bottom line is that the legislature and the county are the safety net. Not that they've had to use it. They have balanced their budget. But for big projects, I tend to think it should come back to the legislature.
Gotcha. So is that moving along as of now, or I don't know if anything
The Reuse Innovation Center, they're very actively moving that forward. They also have an RFP for alternative technologies, but not incineration. On the other hand, Greenway felt that their RFP for alternative technologies didn't leave room for a zero waste plan that they wanted to propose. So that's a little bit in dispute. But the Reuse Innovation Center seems to be moving forward, well developed, and my only concern is that it doesn't really include C&D recycling. And several of us would like to move that forward, and we've been talking about developing legislation that says that if you're taking municipal funds for a demolition, that you have to look at deconstruction. Mm-hmm. And if, in other words, you have to do deconstruction unless there's a really good reason not to. So that those materials, but I didn't want to propose that, and I know there are several other legislators who are interested, until we knew that there was a place to take the material. And I thought that the Reuse Innovation Center was going to include that, but I think it's going to be a follow-up program.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else seems to be falling into place well with that.
Good.
All right. We've kind of bounced around a little.
Yes, yeah.
But I think we've covered everything, and mm-hmm. I really appreciate it. Were you already here? You didn't have to come.
Yes, yeah, no. And that's why I was just checking, wanted to email to make sure that we were still meeting earlier.
Okay.
That was all. All
right, that's great. So I do have another meeting I got to get to, so I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So carried. So moved.
So moved. All right. Meeting officially adjourned of the Climate Smart Committee at 7:18 or so.
Yeah.